Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Yes, Lord, another opportunity to praise you, lift up your name, and give thanks because you love us and you had mercy and grace upon us, Lord. We just praise you for all those things. Lord, now we do ask that you help us be aware of the Holy Spirit in this place today. That you guide us, Lord. You help us open our hearts that we might hear God's word today. We might respond in a way that would please Him. Thank you for loving us again. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You guys stand with us this morning.
Yeah. chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken.
I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am. morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Is it working? I think I'm just loud. Is it working now? Can you hear me now? I'm going to move over a little bit. If you didn't see, there's a big old pile of dirt up here. Y'all know who put that up here? Mr. Bill said somebody had some dirt on their feet and just dusted it off right there. I know somebody got mad when they came in and saw that dirt, didn't they? Ain't no doubt. They're like, man, I cleaned this church. Somebody put dirt in the front of the church. But that's all right. Hey, normally we don't bus visitors out. And I'm going to this morning because I can, because I have the mic. And y'all are going to think it's my parents I'm busting out, or my grandmother, or my sister, but I'm not. There's a real ugly guy. If y'all would turn around this way, right back in the back, he actually turned around too. That's John Goldsmith, or Goldwater, that's what it is. Hey, we're glad you could be here this morning. We appreciate you and your wife, the brains of the operation. Miss Sarah, we just love y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all know, I'm just kidding. That's Big John. They're on vacation right now. That's right. He came to his own church on vacation. How dumb is that? All right. I'm just being serious. But, No, man, I'm glad they could come. They're between vacations. They're like leaving one vacation and headed to another one. And I'm pretty sure they're just here for Caroline's birthday party. Pretty sure it has nothing to do with anything else that's going on. Like, he don't love us. He don't care about us. They're just here for the party. Now I'm going to quit picking on them. No, they wanted to see y'all, of course, but they really are here for the party. So some of y'all are like, I don't know whether to take him seriously or not. So, y'all bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your word that we're about to jump into. And thank you for what you're going to speak to us this morning. I'm excited about it. And I pray that excitement would go forth into everybody else in this place. And that we would begin to apply what it is that we're about to talk about in our own lives. Lord, I thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, is Miss Nani's class going back today? Is Miss Nani even in here? Okay, if you're in Miss Nani's class and you didn't leave, go ahead. If you don't know you're in Miss Nani's class, then just stay here. It's okay. It's all good. So, I want to introduce you guys this morning to a man named Honey. Honey. Has anybody ever heard of Honey before? Honey, there's one person that has heard of Honey. Honey lived a little bit before Jesus did, not too much, but a little bit before Jesus did. And you can read about Honey in two different places. You can read about him in the writings of Josephus, who was a Jewish historian. And you can read about him in the Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish history. Honey lived it's been about 400 years since the last of the Jewish prophets had died. And so the Jewish people aren't really used to hearing from God. They're not really used to seeing any miracles, stuff like that, because there's no really real prophets there anymore to speak to them. And y'all, the people at this point have been without rain for a year. It's been a little over a year, and they've been in a drought. They're thirsty. The crops are dried up. There's nothing going on. But they know a man named Honey. And they know that despite the fact that there's no prophets right now, that Honey has a relationship with God. And when he prays for rain, guess what happens?
It rains.
It would have been funny if it really didn't rain. And y'all said rain. But it really does rain. So they call up Honey. And they're like, Honey, we really need you to come pray for rain because it ain't raining. And we need some rain, dude. And so this is what Honey does. And now the part about there not being any prophets is important. Okay? God, you're just not really hearing from him. And so Honey walks up in front of the whole town, the whole city, and he stands in the dirt. And as he stands in the dirt, y'all, I'm standing in dirt right now, if you can't see. And he's got a 6-foot staff with him. And within that dirt, he just starts to draw a circle around himself. And the people are a little confused, like, man, What is this weirdo doing? I thought he was supposed to be praying for rain. And he's drawing a circle in the dirt. That's yours. Thank you. So he draws this circle in the dirt. And then he prays. And that prayer is hopefully going to be up on the screen. Is it there? There it is. He says, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name. Am I getting it right? I got it right. That I won't move from this circle until what? Until you've shown mercy upon your people. So he draws a circle in the dirt in front of the whole city. And he boastfully, out loud, in front of God and everybody, and he says, I'm not moving from inside this circle till it rains. Now, my name is not Honey, so I'm going to move outside of the circle because my ADD will kick in and I ain't going to make it. But Honey stands in the circle, and he says, I'm not moving till it rains. Now, you know some folks had to look at him like he was really stupid at that point because it hadn't rained in a year. And they're like, dude, you're going to die in that circle. We're going to have to bring you something to eat and drink because you ain't going to make it. It hadn't rained in a year, brother. And so Honey prays this prayer. What happened? It started to rain. So it starts sprinkling a little bit. Now you and I, if we had the boldness to actually pray that prayer in front of people, as soon as it started sprinkling, what would we do?
Yahoo!
Amen, thank you, Lord, I'm out. And we jump out the circle, right? But Honey didn't jump out of the circle. Honey prays again. And his second prayer, he says, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. So he's standing inside this circle, and while inside the circle, it starts to sprinkle. And most of us would have said, thank you, Lord, and move. But Honey doesn't. He says, hang on just a minute, God. That ain't what I prayed for. How many of us have that boldness? Hang on, God. I didn't say sprinkle. I said fill those cisterns up. What happens? Man, it starts pouring. Like a torrential downpour. Like one of those you can't see in front of you while you're driving, so you pull over on the side of the road till it stops kind of rains. So much so that the Jewish people in the town actually like ran to the Temple Mount, like which would have been the highest point in the city. They run there because they're scared it's going to flood. They're like, this dude's praying for real, man. It's flooding. And so Honey got out of the circle, right? Come on, I led you into the answer. No, he doesn't. He doesn't move. And he prays a third time. And he says, Lord, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. So where most of us, when it started pouring, would have been like, man, I got a showed up connection. That's all right. Honey's like, hey, on just a minute, God. I didn't ask for you to flood the place. I asked for you just like one of those slow, steady summer rains. Y'all know those rains? That actually help the plants grow and don't just flood everything? Honey says, that's what I prayed for, God. And I'm not moving from this circle until you've given me what I've asked for. What happened? It slowed down. And just a smooth, steady rain came through. So I wonder what it would look like in our life if we started to pray circles. If we started to pray circles around things in our life where we actually stand and say, God, I'm going to bother you with this until you answer. Y'all heard the story of the widow and when Jesus tells the story in the New Testament of the widow that keeps going to the judge that doesn't believe in God. And she keeps saying over and over, hey, I want justice, I want justice, I want justice. And the judge, he won't listen to her, won't do anything. She shows up at his house, all that kind of stuff. And he just won't do anything. And then finally he says, man, I don't believe in God or anything, but this lady's getting on my nerves. So I'm going to give her justice so she'll leave me alone. And the point of the story is, if somebody who doesn't even believe in God will grant justice because they continue to petition him, how much more will our Father in heaven answer our prayers if we petition him? Right? I'm getting a lot of head nods, which means I hear what you're saying, dude. No, that's all it means. I hear what you're saying, dude. Yeah, I thought there was more to it. No, that's it. It just means I hear what you're saying, dude. But I don't know about this praying circles thing. So when Joshua went to Jericho, how'd they win the battle? They walked in a circle. That's right. They walked in a circle around it. What happened? The walls fell. That's right. That's not what we're reading today. That was for free. I know some of y'all are like, okay, Joshua, Jericho. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We're going to talk about praying circles. And there really are some great stories in the Old Testament we could have gone to. We could have used Jericho in praying circles. We could have used the time that Joshua said, Lord, let the sun stand still so we can win this battle. And it does. The sun stays up for a whole day so they can win the battle. We could have used the time where David has an affair with Bathsheba and the baby is about to die. And David fasts and prays. And then the baby dies. But he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. But we're not going to choose that story. We're going to look at Acts chapter 12. A story that maybe some of us really aren't too familiar with. And we're going to start by reading verses 3 through 5. So to help you understand what's going on, King Herod has just killed James, the brother of John. He's cut his head off because he was one of the Christian leaders. And so at this point, Herod's going after the Christian leadership. Okay? And so that's where we pick up in verse 3. It says, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, talking about Herod, he proceeded to arrest Peter too during the festival of unleavened bread. After the arrest, he put him in prison and assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying fervently to God for him. Say that word fervently with me. Go ahead. Fervently. Fervently. If there was ever a word to highlight in your Bible, this would be the one. If there was ever a word to underline, this would be the one. It says that the church was praying fervently. What were they praying for? For what? Yeah, for Peter to be released from prison, right? They're praying for Peter to be released from prison. And how are they praying?
Fervently.
They're praying fervently because what's about to happen to Peter?
Lose his head.
Yeah, he's about to lose his head. It's going to actually fall off his shoulders with some help. But it's going to fall off his shoulders. Peter's about to be killed. And the church knows it. So what is the church doing? They're praying fervently. They're praying fervently. So I'm about to jump ahead of myself just because I want to real quick. And then I'm going to jump back. Is that all right? Again, I have the mic. You don't have a choice. So that's the best part of having the mic. No, I'm just kidding, y'all. So, look, I wonder when people think of Christ's community. When we think of the lost people all around us that are dying and going straight to hell. If they say Christ's community is praying fervently for those people. If they say, you put your name in the blank, they're praying fervently for those people because they're not about to get their head cut off. They're about to be in torment and be completely separated from God for all eternity. And so their comment is, they're praying fervently. I wonder if that's what people say about Christ's community. I wonder if that's what people say about us personally. So let's look real quick at what that word fervently means, because some of us, maybe we don't understand it. The word fervently in Greek, y'all have to excuse me. Y'all know every time I go to preach, I either get tempted with whatever I'm going to preach by, or I get sick right before I preach. And so like I'm losing my voice. So if it goes out, well, just listen anyway, okay? I'll mouth the words, and some lip readers will, oh, I was hoping somebody would, oh, thank you. Y'all give Keisha a hand. This is my lovely wife. Clap, man! Like, y'all clap for my wife. Oh, he really meant clap for her, yeah. Oh, thank you. That's so much better. Anyway, I don't know what I was saying. But, back to fervently. I do get sick every time I go to preach. It's crazy. I lose my voice every time. So the word fervently, y'all, this word is so important here. The word fervently is actually a medical term in the Greek, and it means to like stretch a muscle beyond its capacity to stretch. So all of the older people in the room who are more experienced, y'all stand up and touch your toes real quick. Okay? So, y'all know that was effortless, wasn't it? Y'all want to see it again? Boom. That's good. I stretch every morning. Now my back hurts. I've been old. So, it's going to happen. That's what we talked about in class this morning. Our bodies are decaying. Romans chapter 8. So, what it feels like when you stretch and that little twinge that pulls when you go to stretch, especially your hamstrings. I don't know why hamstrings stay so tight all the time. A doctor could probably answer that. But like, you can stretch anything in your body and it's not that bad. But then you stretch your hamstring and you want to punch somebody in the face, right? Because it hurts. Okay, so that stretch that you feel when you go to stretch your hamstring is what fervently means. It means you're being stretched beyond your actual capacity to stretch. So in other words, the church is praying so hard. Another definition is passionate. They're praying so passionately that their faith is being stretched. And what happens when you stretch those muscles out? Eventually, what do? No, they actually stretch out. I thought that was such an easy question. They pop! Golly. So, oh man, when you stretch your muscles out, they eventually stretch out, and so you can stretch a little further, right? And then they stretch out, and you stretch a little further, and they stretch out, and you stretch a little further. So the church was literally praying so passionately and intensely for Peter that their faith was being stretched. It was being stretched. That's what fervently means. It means passionate and intensely. Y'all, they're going to put Luke chapter 22, verse 44 up on the board. And I want you to look at this word. There's a really important word in this verse. It says, being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is talking about Jesus when he's praying in Gethsemane. This is the third time Jesus has gone back to pray. The third and final time. And he's praying. And the word that they use to describe how he's praying is what? Fervently. It's the same word that's used in Acts chapter 12 that we just read. So the church was praying so fervently and passionately and intensely that it relates to the same fervency that Jesus was praying with before he was going to be tortured and crucified. The same intensity that Jesus was praying with when he knew every stripe that he was going to have on his back. He knew how bad it was going to hurt to carry that cross. He was praying so hard and intensely that literally his sweat became blood. Any of y'all ever prayed that hard before? I haven't. It wasn't for a lack of trying. I was like, maybe if I do my face harder, it'll... Because I thought I was doing something wrong. Like, I'm being serious. I thought I was doing something wrong because I couldn't get to that point, right? That's how fervently the church was praying. They were praying as hard, as intensely as Jesus was. How cool is that, man? How cool is that? So I wonder, y'all, this is where I told you I got ahead of myself. I wonder when people look at our prayer life, when you look at your prayer life, forget other people, when you look at your prayer life, if you describe yourself as praying as Jesus prayed, if you describe yourself as praying as Honey prayed, or is the church praying? How many of you guys would be willing to stand in front of a whole city, draw a circle around yourself and say, I ain't moving until so-and-so gets saved. Or I ain't moving until you heal my marriage. Or I ain't moving until you take this addiction away. Or I'm not moving until whatever, you fill in the blank. I wonder how many of us would actually be bold enough to stand inside of a circle and pray that prayer. And a lot of you guys, I know what you say. You're like, well, you know, if I knew how to pray like that, I would. But I'm not really sure how. So y'all turn to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. It's really cool when we read stuff in red because that means who said it? Jesus, that's right. Jesus said it. And if Jesus says it, it must be true. So we say, you know, how do we pray? So let's look at Matthew 6 verses 9 through 13. Jesus says, therefore you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I know that's going to bother some of y'all because y'all want to finish the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the... But it's not there. I don't know where that came from, honestly. But it's not there. So, what I want you to notice, this is what Jesus is pointing out. He's pointing out to pray specifically. Pray specifically. Because a lot of us, when we pray, our prayers are like, Lord, bless this group of people and bless them folks over there and be with those folks over there, right? It's not a specific prayer. When Honi stood up in front of the city, was he specific in what he prayed for? And when he got sprinkles, was he even more specific? And when he got a downpour, was he even more specific? And God answered. So Jesus actually tells us right here, pray specifically. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fill me today with my daily bread, which means your word, right? Lord, give me your word today. Fill me with your word. Yeah, fill me with the nutrition I need to make it through the day, but fill me with your word. It's a very specific prayer that Jesus gives us to pray. So turn over real quick to 1 John chapter 5. This will be the last place I ask you to turn. I know people don't like having to flip all over the place, and most of you just look at the screen anyway. But y'all bring your own Bible, BYOB, right? BYOB. No, the kids laugh. They're like, whoa, I know what that means. Oh, man, bring your own Bible, always, because we can put anything we want on that screen. I'm just telling you. Bring your own Bible, man. Read it for yourself. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say, this is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. So we're looking at the what, where, and how to pray. So what we should pray is specific. Very specific. The how we should pray is the really important part, because this is the part that some of us miss. We're like, well, Jesus said that if we pray for anything in His name, He'll give it to us. Right? That's what Jesus said. Right? He did. I'm giving you the answer this time. I'm not tricking you. He really did say that. It's in red. Jesus said, ask for anything in my name and I'll give it to you. So I've been praying for a new Lamborghini. In Jesus' name. They're about to open the blinds and it's going to be sitting outside, right? Why not?
Because it's on that side.
And it is stuck in the mud. That's awesome, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. No, there's not going to be any Lamborghini there, because which part did I miss of that? If we ask anything according to what?
His will.
His will. That's the part that we miss a lot of times. We're like, well, how do I pray? Well, I just pray that God do this and God do that, like He's a genie in the bottle and you just got to rub Him the right way. Some of you that are my age know. You're like, I can't. He's just saying that? Really? And anyway, that's how we view God. We view Him like a genie in a bottle. And if I just rub it and say what I want, then He'll do it for me because I said it in Jesus' name. But we forget about the whole in His will part, according to His will. So Honi knew that God was totally cool with it raining, right? He knew that God wanted to show the Jewish people He was still God and He was still in control and He was in charge. And so when he prayed that prayer, it wasn't like a, Lord, let it rain. It was like a, Lord, I know you're about to make it rain. I'm just going to do this so they know it was you. That's really more what that prayer was. Because Honi was praying according to God's what?
Will.
So what should we pray? We should pray specifically. How should we pray? We should pray according to His will. Now, where should we pray? That's always the question. Because I was teaching the other night, and I hope you don't get mad I'm using what you said as an example. I won't look at the person. I'll look over here at Malik. That way they don't get offended that I'm using their example. But I was reading in Psalms, and I was talking about how the people were worshiping and dancing and doing all this stuff. And I was like, so are we supposed to live like that? And they, of course, said, yes, we should live like that. And I said, wouldn't it be cool if we really lived like that? And they said, yes, it would. That'd be really cool. Except one person. They said, the Bible also says that you have to provide for your family. So I can't be worshiping God all day if I got to go to work. So that's the where we should pray. That's where that part comes in. Because our answer to that person was, I pray while I'm at work. Amen? So where should we pray?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Pray at church, man, with your church family. Pray at home. Pray with your family. Pray in your prayer closet. If you saw the movie War Room, that closet was so cool, man. And I was like, yeah, Keesh, we need to do that, man. We need to make this closet and, like, clean stuff out. And we haven't. Just saying. My prayer closet is my car. When I go to work in the morning, that's what I do. There's no radio, no nothing. I pray on the way to work. So that's kind of my closet. So don't drive around me because I'm really focused more on the prayer than what's going on the road. Just going to be honest with you. Stay behind me. That's all I'm saying. Okay? But no, where we should pray, guys, we pray everywhere. We pray everywhere. Now, some of you are going to say, but Jamie, I do pray specific prayers. And I do pray all the time. I pray everywhere, and I pray according to God's will, but nothing's happening. And Dr. David Jeremiah, I feel like he put it best. He said, if God is not answering, we should examine our motives, not question God's character. But what do we do, honestly? When we pray and nothing happens, what's the first thing we question? Yeah, God, where are you at, man? You're supposed to be the big man upstairs. Supposed to be hearing everything I say. Supposed to be the creator of heaven and earth, and you can't even answer my little prayer. What are you up there doing, God? You don't have time to answer prayers? What, you Snapchat overloaded? You having to check up on everybody's story? Can't keep up with everything, God? Is that not what we do? God, why are you not answering my prayer? I've been praying for 6 hours total. Not at one time, total. God, I've been praying for 37 seconds. God, why haven't you answered this prayer yet? Because y'all know how we are, right? We go to Taco Bell. How many of y'all watch the clock at Taco Bell? Tell a lie. Raise your hand. You know you watch that clock at Taco Bell. You pull up and it's like, oh, it's already been a minute and a half. You losing your bonus. I know y'all have a minute and a half to get that food out. And if it ain't out, you lose your bonus. It's been 2.5 minutes and I still don't. Got a free taco coming to me. It's been 3 minutes. Y'all are going to start watching the clock. Some of y'all are going to go to Taco Bell for lunch just to see if there is a clock. But there is. On the second window, I guess it's the first window. I don't know how many windows they have. Anyway, the window you get your food at, whatever window that is, there's a clock right up there. And it runs the whole time you're waiting on your food. And when you get your food, it resets for the next person. And they really do get a bonus. That's a true story. Or they did. I don't know if they still do or not. But they did at one point. But that's how we are. We like instant answers. So it's like we come up to God's drive-thru, and we're like, God, I have like a number 2 with the side of blessings today. And yeah, if you would, no, hold the ranch dressing. I'll just take $100 bills, God. That'd be good. Yeah, to drink, I think I'll take some communion so I can be in touch with you. You know what I mean? That's what we do with God. And then we pull around to the window, and we're like, hello, God, I just, the clock's running, man. I just put my order in. So y'all, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and you don't have to turn, because I told you I wasn't going to ask you to again. But if you have your Bible, it'd be a good idea. James chapter 4, let's look at verses 1 through 3. It says, what is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So why is God not answering some of our prayers? It's because we're praying according to our own passions and pleasures. So we're not married, so we're praying for a spouse. And we pray specifically for that spouse, right? Because we're supposed to pray specifically. And we're like, God, you know, I know that I don't know, I hate to say a name because it would be somebody's name. And I almost said a dude's name, but that would just be awkward. I was going to say Bob. So I'm a girlfriend. And we're like, God, bless Bob over there. I know he's the one for me, Lord. Just help all this to work out. God, help it all to work out, Lord. I know that we're going to get married and everything's going to be wonderful and beautiful. And then all of a sudden, Bob's like, yeah, I found somebody else. I'm out. And we're like, God, why? My life is ruined. Or is that just the youth? The youth are the only ones that do that? That's like every Sunday thing. Like, yeah, I broke up with me yesterday, but now I'm dating Bill. That's right. So, yeah, man, that's how we are. We're like, we're doing everything right. We're praying specifically. We're doing this, that, and the other. Everything that we're supposed to do, and God's not answering our prayer, but it's because we're praying according to our own pleasures and our own passions. How about this one? Because this is a good prayer. Lord, please get me out of debt. That's a good prayer, amen? But for some of us, the rest of that prayer is, God, because I don't want anybody to know how bad of a financial handler I am. God, I just pray that you would bless our marriage, because if you don't, we might get divorced, and then people will know that I'm not as perfect as they think that I am, and that's just not cool, God. I don't want to get divorced. Not really that I give a crap about them. I just don't want other people to know that I'm getting divorced, Lord. So we might not say that out loud to God, but for a lot of us, that's our motive behind our prayer. Lord, bless us with $50,000. Why? Why do you need $50,000? Oh, so I can go buy this new car. But that really is how some of us pray. And notice what it said in verse 1. What is the source of wars and fights among you? I love that part, y'all, because it's talking about church. And you're like, wars and fights in church? That would never happen. God forbid. And we don't have carpet, so I can't point out the color of the carpet. I'm sure somebody complained about the color of the concrete. Like, why didn't we get the brown concrete? Why do we have to get the gray concrete that's stained now this weird color? We don't even know what it is. Right? But what is the source of wars and fights among you? It's because we're selfish. We're selfish. We're like, hang on just a minute. I'm in charge of this ministry. How dare you come over here and try to tell me how we're going to do something? This is my ministry. Right? Come on now. Don't get so quiet when we get to the real part. Y'all know that's how it is. Because we are a selfish people. And we pray selfishly. So why is there dissension in the church among believers? Because we're looking out for what we want, not for what God wants. Our motives when we pray aren't right. Why do we pray for people to be healed? Y'all, let's be honest. Because we're selfish. We want them here. But what if God knows that them being here will be worse than being with Him? Well, first off, being here is worse than being with Him. But y'all, look at King Hezekiah in the Bible. And God added, what, 10 years to his life, right? And was it 15? My bad. Y'all should bring your Bibles and check me on this stuff. But what the Bible says about it, I do know this part, it says that the last years were worse than his first years. He fell away from God and he became selfish because God knew his time was up. But he asked God for more time, so God gave it to him. How'd that work out for him? Not so well. So my prayer for people, like, they literally call me when somebody is on their deathbed, and y'all tell me if I'm lying. If somebody's on their deathbed and they're sick and they are very bad off, they'll call me and say, Jamie, pray. Because what do y'all know, John? They're going to die. Every time they've called and I've prayed that prayer, save one, I think, right? It was like the next day. The person passed away. But y'all, I'm telling you, it's because we knew it would be better for them to be with Christ than to be suffering here on earth. So why is it a lot of times that God doesn't answer our prayer? It's because our motives have nothing to do with God's will. It's our will. It's our will. I ran across this definition the other day about prayer. And it says that prayer seeks communion with the Father more than the acquisition of favors or the satisfaction of desires. In other words, prayer is about talking to God, not asking for stuff. How many of y'all's prayer, and let's be honest, I normally don't ask y'all to raise your hand, but I'm going to raise my hand so you can raise yours, okay? This is a total admission of guilt. I'm just going to be honest with you up front. How many of y'all's prayers are less than 10%, Lord, I praise you, and 90% or more, God, please do blank? Thank y'all for being honest. I appreciate that. And y'all, my prayers are the same way. Prayer is communion with God. It's not about God do this and God do that and God help me this and God help me that and God I want this and God I want that. It's about talking to the Father, right? That's what prayer is about. So let's see what happens when God answers prayers. Y'all go back to Acts chapter 6 if you were tracking with me through our other scriptures. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. Let's see what happens when God answers prayers. It says, when Herod was about to bring him out for trial, so Peter's been in jail roughly a week, give or take, right? That's about how long he's been in jail. They've been praying the whole time that Peter's been in jail. And what's about to happen to Peter the next morning? Yeah, he's about to get his head cut off, because it says they were about to bring him out for trial, which really means they were about to cut his head off, because there was no such thing as a trial. It was, you're guilty because I say you're guilty. Okay? So, right at the end. It says, that very night, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while the sentries in front of the door guarded the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. Striking Peter on the side, he woke him up and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. Get dressed, the angel told him, and put on your sandals. And he did. Wrap your cloak around you, he told him, and follow me. So he went out and followed, and he did not know that what the angel did was really happening, but he thought he was seeing a vision. After they passed the first and second guards, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them by itself. They went outside and passed one street, and suddenly the angel left them. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's grasp and from all that the Jewish people expected. As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many had assembled and were praying. Stop there. Notice the timing of God's answer. Did the church gather and fervently pray for 5 to 10 minutes and then God answered the prayer? No, the church had been praying fervently without ceasing is another definition of that word fervently. Without ceasing for upwards of a week at this point. And right before Peter's going to go out and get killed, an angel comes and delivers Peter. He's free. So he goes straight to John Mark's mom's house. And when he gets there, what's the church doing? They're praying for who? For Peter. Do what? To get out of jail and be freed. And where is Peter? Yeah, he's out of jail. He's standing at the gate. He's ready to come in, right? Because God answered the prayer. So y'all look at verses 13 through 16. I love these verses. It sounds like something I would do. He knocked at the door of the outer gate, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice, and because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the outer gate. So she realizes, y'all were praying for Peter, and he's standing, he's right there, we've been praying, and he's at the gate, he's right there. Hang on, stay right there. And she runs back inside and leaves him at the gate. That sounds like something I would do. But anyway, we digress. Verses 15 and 16, you're out of your mind, they told her, but she kept insisting that it was true, and they said it's his angel. In other words, they were saying, hey, he's been executed already. He's just come back to say bye. Okay, even though they were praying for him to be released. And she says, well, she says it's his angel. Peter, however, kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astounded or amazed. Okay, so I know y'all are thinking, it's 11:59. How is he going to finish this up in 30 seconds? And the answer is, I'm not. Which is going to make my wife nervous because Caroline's birthday party is at 2 and she still has to decorate. So I say that to say this. I've been praying this whole time that y'all would stay and help her decorate. And now that I've said it out loud, you have to stay and help. No, I'm just kidding. That's just a little humor for you to whatever, it's just a little humor for you, because if y'all were inside my mind, you would just understand, okay? There's a reason I work with middle school kids, okay? I don't know about y'all folks in high school. Y'all are just crazy. So, but y'all, back to this real quick, because God answers the prayer when he's ready, right? And then the first thing you notice when Rhoda realizes the prayer has been answered is joy. So when God answers prayer, we feel joy, right? We feel joy. And she runs inside, and they're like, no, it's not him. And they run out, and they open the gate, and it is him. And they probably hug him, and they start worshiping, because that should be our natural response when God answers prayer. Right? It's to worship him and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. Because, man, we were praying, and you did it. You came through. You answered our prayer. And I love this word here. It says they were amazed, or they were astounded. Because one of the definitions for this word, I personally think, is hilarious. It means to be removed from a standing or fixed position. You ever heard the expression, they were knocked on their behind? I started to say butt, but I don't know if that's appropriate for church. I know, I just said, see how I did that? I still got it in there. I know some of y'all still haven't caught it, but I got it in there. It knocked them on their behind, right? Y'all heard that expression before? So it literally means they were so amazed and astounded that God had answered their prayer, like they were knocked off their socks. They were blown away. Another definition is flabbergasted. Another one I love too is completely stupefied. You know, so there's like a spell in Harry Potter where they go stupefied and they're like frozen. That's literally how they were. They were frozen and stupefied and flabbergasted and blown off of their feet because Jesus had answered their prayers. So how should we be when God answers our prayers? Should we not be the same way? You see, a couple of weeks ago I told y'all the story, and I kept saying van in the story, but that's a bus out there if you didn't notice. So my bad for the inconsistency in what it was. But the part of the story I did not tell y'all, because I knew I was preaching this Sunday, is that when I found out about the bus, and I talked to Mike about the bus, and he told me and Paul about it, I started immediately praying a circle around it. Immediately praying a circle around it. And I literally actually said, God, I'm praying a circle around this bus, and if this is the bus that Christ Community needs, that if it's the one you would have us to have, that somebody would come and donate money for a bus. Well, somebody didn't donate money. Y'all know the story. They just gave us the whole bus. And y'all, by the way, if you look a bus like that up, about 25 grand. About 25 grand. 30 grand. Somewhere in that neighborhood. And they gave it to us for free. Why? Because we prayed a circle around it. And I asked three of my buddies to pray a circle around it with me. So y'all, what does it look like to pray a circle around something? Well, I can tell you, a circle is metaphorical. It doesn't literally mean go outside, draw a circle, stand in the middle of it till the whole world gets saved. Right? That's not what it means. It's a metaphorical circle. In other words, God, I'm going to keep bothering you and pestering you with this prayer request until you answer it one way or the other. For David, the answer was for the child to die. It wasn't for the child to live. And you know what David did when he got up? He ate and worshiped the Lord because God answered his prayer. For the church, when Peter showed up at the door, they started worshiping the Lord because God answered their prayer. So Christ Community last year, we were praying for some specific things. And I just want to run y'all through this real quick because I want y'all to write them down and agree with me that you're going to pray with us this year on these things as well. Okay, so that's going to require you to get something to write with. And I know y'all have your phones out anyway, Not that I watch y'all from the back on your phones the whole time playing games. Whatever. But type these into your phone. So last year we were praying very specifically for salvation experiences. And y'all, I'm so proud to say, and I don't know the exact number because we had a couple people last week, but it's between 45 and 50 people, correct? Accepted Christ through ministries at Christ Community last year. Three people said amen. Come on now. Hello. Anything else I say, I'm like, hey, we got a bus for free. Woo! Hey, 50 people got saved. That's cool, man. You got anything else for me? Got anything else for free? Right? Come on, man. 50 people got saved last year because we were praying specifically for people to get saved through ministries at Christ Community. And so this year, thank you. So this year, we have goals. We've got goals we've set up as a pastoral team, and we've kind of introduced them to a few people last week. And so Big John is going to be talking about these more in depth. But a couple of those goals that I want y'all to pray with me about and with the church about are number one, we want to see at least 50 people, at least 50 people accept Christ in 2019 through Ministries of Christ Community. At least 50 people. Another thing we want to see is at least 50 people go through our 01 classes. The 201, 101, 201, 301, 401 classes. Because y'all, you want to talk about growing in spiritual maturity? That's where it's at. Those classes are right on, man. And they will teach you so much stuff. And I'm telling you, you'll come out closer in your relationship with Christ. So that's the idea. And the 301 class takes us to the point that we start serving in the church. Okay? So, on the 13th of January, there's a 301 class right here in this room. 301, 13th of January. I see all y'all writing that down. I see all y'all writing that down. Some of y'all are like, I'm going to look down now. So he thinks I'm writing it down. But I'm really not. Don't tell anybody. Okay? But no. It is. It's in the bulletin. That's right. Read your bulletin, man. That's what it's there for. No. I'm the pot calling the kettle black. I don't ever read the bulletin. I look up at the screen. Anyway, it's both places. Okay? So, y'all, be praying for us that at least 50 people will go through that. I got to get back on track now. Be praying for our children's ministry because we've got a very specific goal for our children's ministry this coming year. Another really cool goal that we have is to start a church in Holcomb. And guess what? We're starting a church in Holcomb in February. And John, you got to correct me if I'm wrong, the 7th or the 14th?
We're starting an evangelistic Bible study February 7th.
February 7th. So Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. And it is. It's for 12 weeks. It's going to be a Bible study about salvation thing. I mean, just the basics. Because the people that we're going for is people that aren't welcome anywhere else. We want people who want to know, how do I get saved? I don't care about all that other stuff. I just want to know how to get saved. And that's what we're going to Holcomb for. And so, y'all, we're doing that. Another goal that we have is to build this extension of the building over here to be usable by the end of the year, which means a shell, in other words. Okay? 3 Wednesdays ago, we had 60 youth in that room back there. For the record, it's full at 20. We've actually had youth say, I'm not coming back till y'all get more room because I can't be, it's too tight. There's too many people and it stinks. But that's neither here nor there. That's an Old Spice problem. I can't do anything about that. So yeah, we've literally had youth that have quit coming because there's not enough room. That's why we're trying to raise this money. And y'all see where that goal is at. Right now, we got enough money to pour this much to the foundation. That's not a metaphorical this much. We have enough to lay this much. Like, not even a cornerstone. That's it. We can't even put the wood around it to frame it up. We just have enough for that much concrete. Okay? So, guys, what I'm asking you to do, what I'm asking and imploring you to do, I guess would be the word, is to agree right now that you're going to start praying circles around stuff in your life. In other words, bombarding God with requests over and over and over. So guys, for some of y'all, that might be your marriage. Praying circles around your marriage. I pray circles around my kids every single day. Every day I pray a very specific prayer for them that God would make them into mighty warriors. That they would do outlandish, crazy stuff for Him that scares me to death. I don't pray for their safety. I don't. God, use them, but keep them safe. No, you can't pray that. God, use them. I don't care where it is. I don't care how it is. God, use them. I pray circles around my kiddos every single day. So I invite you to pray circles around whatever it is for you. For some of you guys, like I said earlier, it might be an addiction. You've got to pray a circle around every single day and bombard God. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's just flat out just... Probably can't use that expression. I don't care about anything anymore. I'm just here, right? I don't care, man. I'm just whatever. Apathy would be the word. Just apathetic, man. Just don't care anymore. Just whatever. Man, start praying circles around that stuff. Start praying circles around these goals. every day I pray a circle around this capital campaign, and I pray very specifically. And y'all, I'm standing in a circle right now telling y'all what I pray. So if it doesn't happen, then I'm just out there, right? Okay, so I'm just going to tell you. I don't pray for $500,000, which is our goal. I pray that God would bless us with enough money to build that new building completely, to pave our parking lot and pay this building off 100%. That's what I pray for. And I'll just be honest with you, that's about 800 G's. But you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because I'm going to keep bothering God till He gets tired of hearing me. And He's like, you know what, man? I'll just tell this dude over here to give you the money if you'll leave me alone. Not pointing at anybody specific. I'm just saying if you have 800 G's. Now, I've covered everybody. So somebody's like, man, I've had that money in the bank for retirement. Now I got to get it. Okay, so, y'all, I just want to close with this. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. All this stuff around you is going to pass away. You are going to die unless Jesus comes back first. Your kids are going to die unless Jesus comes back first. It's going to happen. The only question is, what are we going to leave here that lasts for eternity? What are we going to leave here that'll last for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation? And it's not a legacy, guys. We're not trying to leave a legacy. It's not about having our name on a building. It's about when people say your name, they say, that dude prayed. That dude prayed. That lady prayed. Man, they prayed. They prayed fervently. They prayed passionately. They prayed believing that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. Amen? Amen? That's what we want people to say about us when we go, is that dude prayed. If the word dude offends you, just put your name in the blank. That dude prayed. I was reading a book the other day, and a guy put it this way, and this really is the end this time. He says, y'all, in our church, we work like it depends on us, but pray like it depends on God. So Christ Community, I challenge you to do the same thing. Y'all, we've got to work like it depends on us. If there's a need, we fill it. If we see there's something going on, somebody told me the other day, well, we need to have such and such at Christ Community. And I said, sounds like God put you in charge. Go do it. Right? Yeah, don't come to me anymore if you feel like we need something. My dude's going to put me in charge. But that's normally what happens. If you recognize there's a need, it's probably God prompting you to do it. So we work like it depends on us. How are we going to raise this money? Folks are going to give sacrificially. Sacrificially. Well, I think I can afford 50, so you should give 75. I think I can afford 75, so you should give 100. Well, I'm pretty sure I could do 1,000. Give 10. I tried, right? But guys, that's what it means. That's what it means. We work like it depends on us, but we pray like it depends on God. Y'all bow your heads, we'll pray. And in lieu of an invitation, we'll just go straight to the offertory. So if the ushers will come on. Lord, I just want to thank You for Your word this morning. God, I thank You for Honey, for giving us an example of what it means to pray. God, I thank You for the early church and them giving us an example of what it means to pray and really to pray. Really pray. God, fervently, on our face, praying for Your blessings and Your graciousness. God, I pray that You would turn Christ's community into a praying church. Turn us into it right here and right now. As we go into 2019, Lord, we just lift this place up to You. We lift these ministries up to You, just asking that You would do what You do. And for the people that You're prodding right now because they don't know You, God, I pray that they would just take a moment and do business with You. God, just right here, right this minute, that they would do business with You. I pray for those who know You, who have been feeling a prompting to jump into ministry, Lord, that they would know now, hey, it's time. It's time for me to get involved. It's time for me to jump in, man. It's time for me to reach the next generation. And Lord, I pray as we take up the offering this morning that every penny that's taken up, God, whether it's 100 or 1,000, God, that every penny would be used for Your ministry and Your ministry only, nothing else. God, I love You and I thank You and I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Job, because you like you preach and you're like, people should work in the church and people should pray, and you don't see anything happen, right? So what we do is pointless if there's no application. What we do is pointless if there's no application. So I'm about to ask you to commit to praying circles. On that piece of paper, just write down whatever you're going to pray circles around. It's a small piece of paper, so you have to write very small or get more than one. And I just want you to walk by and drop it where the very large Bigfoot footprints are. I don't know who stepped in that thing, but wow, they got a Bigfoot. and put them right there. And all that is symbolic, y'all. This dirt is just dirt. I dug it up from back there. I'm going to put it back there when I'm done. But I'm going to pull all those out. We're going to put them in a box, and we're going to be praying for them. We're not going to look at them. We're just going to be praying for them. That's all we're going to do. We're going to pray circles around that box this year. So I just want you to write down on there whatever it is that you need to pray a circle around. Fold it up and just come drop it on your way out. Okay? So I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed. But y'all get your paper from these guys right here. They can walk down however y'all want to do it. Okay? So y'all bow your heads. Lord, thank you. Thank you again for your word. God, thank you so much that we can come to you in prayer. That we don't have to have a priest that goes behind the Holy of Holies to pray for us. But we can be in direct contact with you. And God, I pray that we would begin to take that seriously. And begin to pray according to your will, God, whatever that is. Lord, I pray that you've released burdens today. I pray that you've placed burdens for prayer today, God, and you would literally drive us to our knees as a church, as believers, God, outside of these walls, and that we would see you move like we never have before. And Lord, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready. Burden. Hey, there's pens up here. There's pens up front if you need a pen for your paper. They're right up here on the chairs. On either side. Some over there, some right here.